From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's Thursday, February the 12th, 2009. Another birthday to celebrate. This one belongs to my wife. Happy birthday, Clarianne. I love you. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, the House Ag Committee wants to strengthen the role of the CFTC, and leaders from some environmental groups think the nation would be better off importing crude oil rather than growing our own. Oh, wait a second. That's kind of funny when you think about it. Hey, we'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll hear how the high price of fertilizer last fall is pinching some fertilizer dealers and companies. And at the end of the half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast, and it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures in the wheat pit finished the Dear Mib March contract at 5.38¾ for the soft red, down 4.5 cents. May 4.5 lower at 5.51½, and July wheat at 5.63¾, down 4.5 cents. Kansas City nearby, March at 5.75, 3 lower. From the corn pit in Chicago, 3.66¼ settlement price for the March, down 2¼. The May at 3.76, 2.5 lower. July corn at 385.5, down 2.5, and the SEPs at 396, down 2.25. December corn futures 2.25 lower at $4.07¾. Crude oil, $1.96 lower at this hour. Ethanol just about unchanged, and the RBOB gasoline in 1 2/10 lower for the day. March soybean futures 9.5 cents lower at 968.5. The May at 971.5, down 10.5, and July 976, 11¾ lower. August soybeans 964, down 13.5, and the November contract $9.5, that's $9 even and 1/2 cent, down 17 cents for the November new crop soybeans. March bean meal at 304.70, a buck lower. March bean oil at 32.83, down 35. February live cattle 84.35, 17.5 lower. April's down a dime at 87.50. March feeders 95.15, down 25 cents. April down a quarter as well at 96.15. And the Feb lean hogs at 58.82½, a dollar 22.5 higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures are trading $1.96 lower. The last trade there at $33.98 a barrel. And the April futures at $42.17 are down 30 cents. Ethanol futures at $1.59¾, just about 9 cents lower. And the natural gas at $4.48½, down 4 7/10. RBOB gasoline at $1.25 6/10, down 1 3/10 cents. Heating oil, that's diesel fuel, 0.5 cent higher at $1.32¼. Propane futures at 66 7/10, just about 7 10 cents lower for the day. Gold futures are trading at $948.50 an ounce, up $4.70. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 77.17, down 225 points, and the U.S. dollar at 86.50, 68 lower. The CRB index at 214.71 is down 1.4 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. Our own Mike Sola says in the southern and western parts of Illinois tonight should become partly cloudy. Elsewhere, mainly clear. Lows will range from 20 in northwestern Illinois to 35 in the south. Tomorrow, in the south and western Illinois, partly to mostly cloudy. Showers of snow or mixed with rain and snow possible in far western Illinois during the afternoon. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny. Highs will range from 34 in northwestern Illinois to around 55 in the far south. Hey, if you happen to be out and about near Lafayette, Indiana tonight, don't forget to visit the University Inn at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Chuck Shelby will be there along with Wayne Nelson and Brian Maple and Vince Bailey and Dave Dickey from here. This is sponsored by Risk Management Commodities. It's free at 7 o'clock, one of our ag panels right there in the University Inn in Lafayette, Indiana this evening.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Thursday afternoon. Time to check in on what's been happening in the world of agricultural futures. Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group joins us, not from his office out of Decatur, Illinois, but he's at the big show at this point, the big farm show in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, how are you doing today there, Dan?
Doing just fine, Todd.
Are there many people there?
Big crowd. We're in the north wing, which is kind of the newer section. I think last year they said it was kind of empty last year. Now this north wing is pretty well full, so there's a lot more exhibitors, and there's an awful big crowd here.
Are you there with equipment in that part of the wing, or is it in a different place?
We do have equipment, but the Bicker equipment, the John Deere's and the AI, Case AI, are, I think, in the south wing. So that's where the Bicker equipment is. But we do have Kinsey. Kinsey's just a little ways down from our booth. So there is equipment in here, but most of this is probably smaller size equipment that we have in the north wing here.
Well, I'll bet Kinsey put a nice big planter up there or something, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
That's a good old Iowa kind of company, isn't it? Hey,
It sure is.
Well, tell me about the farmers that have been talking to you. How are they feeling? Where did you hear differences regionally from place to place? This is I think it is the largest equipment show in the nation and maybe on the planet, actually. So you should be hearing from lots of folks all over the place.
It's a big Illinois, Indiana, Ohio crowd. There's no doubt about that. I'd say most of the people have been through those three states. I don't think I've run anybody yet from Iowa, but we do Wisconsin, Michigan, and then, of course, we do have a lot of Kentucky and Tennessee in here, a few from Missouri. But the big crowd here is Illinois, Indiana. Actually, there's an awful lot of people that do listen to WLLL. They come up and tell me that they listen to me every Thursday. So you can definitely tell that you guys are doing a good job there and getting the information out to farmers.
Well, thanks much, and you're sure our help. I bet they've been asking you what you think of the marketplace. I think you actually ran into my folks this week over in Lincoln.
I sure did.
Yeah.
The whole family, I think, was there, Todd. Mm-hmm. Your dad, brothers, and that was a big crowd, too. I'm trying to think when that was. That might have been Tuesday morning, I think.
Yeah, it was Tuesday.
I've done so many Outlook meetings this year, I'm not even too sure what day of week it is. I kind of feel like I'm in Indiana. I don't know what time of day it is.
Depends on which county you are in and what time of year, at least it used to.
Right.
Well, tell me about the marketplace at this point. Have you got a good handle on it, or is it just a sideways consolidation, or what's going on?
The seasonals are kind of up in here. I look at some of my cyclical work that I've used over the years. It kind of keeps the door open for a rally. The biggest problem we have is that we just don't have the underlying demand underneath this market to excite it to the upside. And then, of course, we're back trading, I think, outside markets. Everybody was kind of in a holding pattern waiting for the new administration to unveil, what it's going to do with everything. And basically, it's been very disappointed. You can see the stock market was down 400 points here the other day. Now we're down another 200 points. So the dollar is sharply higher, so that continues to add the fuel to the fire that we're still in this deflationary mode, and anything that we've seen out of Washington is not going to stop that downward spiral. So that weighs here in the ag complex here today. I don't necessarily like the price action from a technical point of view, but I don't know if you want to totally give up on a late February, March rally just yet. But there is no doubt there's a lot of grain out in the country that's looking to move into the market channels, whether it comes here in the next 2 weeks or 30 days or if it's postponed till later. But you can definitely get the feel down here talking to farmers that there's some grain that needs to be moved here before spring. And I think that is weighing on the marketplace, especially when we don't have a big demand factor into the market. Now, today's weekly export sales numbers, they're very good, but I think there was rumors through the session that there might have been some bookkeeping errors, and I don't know if that's true or not, but that kind of added to some of the bearishness that we're seeing from the outside markets.
Speaking of what's been happening on the exports, and I want to talk a little bit about South America and other places because they do export a lot of soybeans and some corn as well from Argentina. There's been much discussion about the dry weather, drought conditions that have taken over a good portion of Argentina, parts of Brazil, and what kind of impact that might have on the soybean market. I had a producer ask me earlier in the week, technically, whether you might think that there would be a head and shoulders bottom forming in the bean pit.
There's head and shoulders bottom in all of the commodities that could be showing up. I mean, you'd want to use the fall lows that we had kind of as a left shoulder, the December low that we had as the head, and we're in the process here of making the right shoulder. But yes, when you stand back and look at corn, soybeans, wheat, you do see a potential of a head and shoulders there. So it does have my attention, but I can't give you the good fundamental reasons why that would be validated just yet. I do think that the dry situation in Argentina is definitely going to be a big benefit to the corn market. I think we're already starting to see that with the pickup of export sales the last several weeks here. And if the numbers were right that USDA reported today is a marketing year high. So I do think that is a big plus, and that's going to continue, I think, throughout the year. But we're so far behind on the first half of the year that it's still going to struggle, I think, to meet USDA's expectations. But I do think that is a bright spot down the road for corn. We're still hearing mixed ideas as far as what acreage is going to be. My guess is that unless something changes, acreage may not be down that much. I do think there's going to be some downward adjustment in acres. But I don't look for the big jump. But you got an awful lot of people out here wanting to talk about a big jump in soybean acres coming from hard red winter wheat or soft red winter wheat, lower acres, lower cotton acres, and then, of course, CRP acres. So that's what's kind of got into the bean complex, especially on new crop, and you can see why that's being pressured more so than the front end, because we do still have good demand for U.S. Product. South American inventory is not going to, it's going to start dripping into the world markets, but the big month is really not until we get into April, May.
Hey, when you're talking to farmers, I'm wondering on this acreage thing, are they telling you that they're willing to give up their dry fertilizer because it's so high priced, but to go ahead and plant this season corn?
It depends on who you talk to. Either they're going to maybe pass on it this year, or maybe just use half as much. They're looking at ways of trimming that expense. They're all going to want to use nitrogen because that is definitely something they can use that you can definitely see. But on P and K, I think there is some ideas that they might skip a year on that if they've had a good program, or they just may not put on as much this year. So they are taking a look at ways of maybe cutting back a little bit, or at least cutting some of the outlays to plant an acre of corn.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go?
That's all I have. For those ADM customers over on the state line, Attica, I'm going to be over their way next Thursday at the Beef House. So if you're an ADM customer, call those local elevators and tell them you're coming.
Okay, thanks much.
Very well.
Have a good day and have fun down there. That's Dan Zwicker. He's with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. It happens each and every Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In agricultural news, Commodity Futures Trading Commission Commissioner Bart Chilton endorsed a bill that would strengthen the CFTC's regulatory powers, but Chilton added that he believes the CFTC should have authority to launch criminal investigations. The CFTC regulates the grain, meat, and financial futures exchanges in Chicago, New York, Kansas City, and Minneapolis. The House Agriculture Committee has set a meeting this afternoon to debate and possibly vote the bill out of committee. The bill is called the Derivatives Markets Transparency and Accountability Act of 2009. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack is coming under intense pressure from farmers and Congress to make extension revisions in the payment limitations rule that the Bush administration issued before leaving office. Vilsack has already extended the comment period for the rule, and on Tuesday, he told the USA Rice Federation he may extend the June 1 sign-up deadline for the new farm program for all crop farmers. But Vilsack also said he does not expect to change the stricter eligibility criteria for receiving subsidies for the 2009 crop year, even though it might be changed for 2010 and beyond. Leaders from a number of environmental groups say increased gasoline usage would be better for the U.S. than increasing production of corn-based ethanol by up to 10 billion gallons. The environmental groups say that policymakers in Washington have been in a blind rush to embrace the failed promise of current conventional biofuels and have ignored better solutions. In response, the Renewable Fuels Association said the environmental groups are seeking to throw cold water on the progress of America's renewable fuels industry and regulate the nation to increased foreign oil dependence. And about 13.3 million farmers in a record 25 countries planted 125 million hectares of biotech crops last year. That's a 9.4% increase from the 114.3 million hectares planted in 2007. That's according to the International Service for the Acquisition of Agribiotech Applications. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week. You can hear both of those programs and other agricultural programming on our website at willag.org anytime you'd like. It's willag.org. There you can also sign up to get our weekend newsletter if you want. Just hit subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page, or to have these programs delivered to your computer automatically as a podcast. It's all at willag.org. Now, yesterday, we started our new Farmer Appreciation segment. We have our second one to announce, and the rules of the game are, we're still adapting them, so stay with me. The first rule is we announce based on your birthday. The second is we'd like to thank you for farming on the fives, so we'll start with the 25th anniversary and go up by five. We also want to acknowledge those in their first year and those in their last year, like Carl Winkie from Champaign, right here in Champaign County, Illinois. Carl Winkie's retiring after 51 years on the farm. Just so you know, he's 79. Carl, thanks for listening and thanks for farming. If you'd like to be part of our farmer appreciation announcement, just send us a note via email at willagstaff@illinois.edu. That's willagstaff@illinois.edu. The first part of it's all one word, of course. Or you can call us at 217-333-0850 about a week before your birthday. We want to know your hometown, home county, and home state, and we have a few international listeners on the web. You can participate, too. Your first year, every 5 years, starting at 25, and your last year. And thanks. Now, up next, you know, the price of fertilizer on the world market has crashed along with the global economy. I'll have a report on how that's pinching some fertilizer dealers here in the Midwest. The price of fertilizer is directly related to the price of energy, and that means it skyrocketed last spring and summer, says University of Illinois farm management specialist Gary Schnittke.
Fertilizer prices were very high in the late summer, early fall, following most commodities up, and we were seeing farmers pay $1,000 plus for anhydrous ammonia in the fall. And since basically mid-September, wholesale prices have fallen dramatically for fertilizers, and that's beginning to work its way down to the farmer level.
That's both good and bad news on a whole host of fronts. Some farmers might be able to book cheaper fertilizer. Others are stuck with the higher price stuff, and maybe even more disturbing is the potential impact on the fertilizer dealer.
A lot of fertilizer retailers that sell to farmers do have a sort of a big problem. They purchased fertilizer last fall at pretty high prices, and now we're seeing wholesale prices fall. And if they drop their prices to farmers, they will be suffering losses on that product. So the process of working down to lower fertilizer levels can be pretty painful for retailers.
It means farmers will find a wide range of prices for fertilizer, and not only that, those prices will most likely be higher the further north the farmer lives in the United States, or for that matter, in a single state like Illinois.
Fertilizer dealers bids will range from dealer to dealer depending on their inventory, what they purchased that inventory at, and so there will be wide differences across retailers. If you're looking at the state, the higher bids are likely also to be in the northern part because a lot of fertilizer didn't make it on last fall due to the late harvest and harvest season and then early bad weather, I guess. So northern Illinois, the fertilizer's supply situation is probably more. There's more fertilizer there than in central and southern Illinois.
More high-priced fertilizer in storage. It could, in fact, impact the planting decisions farmers make this spring. That high-priced fertilizer is usually destined for fields to be planted in corn. It could just set, with farmers deciding to plant more acres of soybeans. And the local fertilizer dealer would be stuck with the inventory and the bill. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast when meteorologist Pete Levitt joins us here on the Closing Market Report.
It's National Plum Pudding Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1791, Peter Cooper was born, an American inventor and founder of the Cooper Union for the Advancement of Science and Art. He obtained the first American patent for the manufacture of gelatin. In 1850, William Davis was born, a U.S. geographer, geologist, and meteorologist. He founded the science of the study of landforms. In 1872, Silas Noble and James P. Cooley of Massachusetts patented a toothpick-making machine. In 1877, a news dispatch was sent using Alexander Graham Bell's newfangled invention, the telephone, for the first time in the U.S. It was sent from Salem to the Boston Globe in Boston, a distance of 16 miles. In 1973, the first metric distance road signs in the U.S. were erected between Columbus and Cincinnati, Ohio. By the way, as early as 1790, Thomas Jefferson proposed a decimal measurement system similar to the metric system. And in 1976, the popular food coloring red dye number 2 was banned by the Food and Drug Administration because studies had shown it might cause cancer. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. On the line with us now to take up the agricultural weather forecast for the day is Pete Levitt. He's in Massachusetts. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It really is a gorgeous day here. A little cooler than it has been in the past, but just magnificent nonetheless.
Well, we're not going to have too much change in temperature over the week. We do have a storm system that's going to come whipping past southern Illinois tomorrow night and Saturday, and it's going to throw a little light snow across central and northern Illinois, probably in the 3 to 5 inch range. It'll be a dry snow with the path of the low so far south in the Ohio Valley. And by the time that gets out of the way Saturday, then we can look right through Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for fair weather, and temperatures almost normal for the day. So one of the things we like to talk about in weather, an uneventful week for a change after some light snow on the weekend.
Uneventful here. How about the rest of the nation? Any place that will be looking for trouble?
Well, I don't see trouble with this system. We're going to have a storm on the East Coast probably late next week, and that'll be a precipitation maker and a storm, but the Midwest looks benign. I want to get to someplace else in the world because, you know, some very interesting convergence of things. Today we're celebrating the 200th anniversary of Lincoln's birth. Another great man is also celebrating the 200th anniversary of his birthday, and that was Charles Darwin.
You bet.
And Charles Darwin was more than a naturalist. He was also doing some meteorological work. In 1833, he was in the Argentine, and they were having a severe drought. Sound familiar?
It does.
Well, and he made records of it and deduced that there is a cyclical pattern of drought in the Argentine and averages about every 7 years or so, and that it was probably related to temperatures of the eastern Pacific. Well, sure enough, his insight was proven later. It showed that in 1833, when he was down there, there was a very strong negative PDO, a term you may have heard us use before, Pacific Decadal Oscillation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably responsible for the severe drought in Argentina. And guess what? We are now in a period of a strong negative Pacific Decadal Oscillation, which means that we have colder waters along most of the west coasts of the continents, both North and South America. And as a result of that pattern, that cyclical pattern, Argentina is undergoing a drought very similar to the one that Charles Darwin discovered back in 1833. Now, they did get some rain last week. And some of it was very beneficial, at least to second crop soybeans, which they use follows wheat. It's probably too late to benefit corn very much. And this rain that they did get, which ranged anywhere from 1 to 4 inches of rain right up the river valley where a lot of the crops are grown, that's been replaced by dry weather, and they're going to be hot and dry again. So it wasn't a change in the pattern. It was a brief respite. and we're going to look for dry weather to continue there.
And, well, we like it for the commodity prices. Our hearts go out to those farmers there. You can't, anytime there's a drought around the world, it's a bad deal.
Right.
Thanks much.
Okay.
Pete Levitt is meteorologist, joins us on the Closing Mark Report on Thursday afternoons. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.